But I feel good spiritually this morning. It's just a good spirit I feel this morning. And maybe it's because of the songs that were selected and the songs that were sung. It's well with my soul this morning. And because Jesus washed my sins away through His shed blood. And I just feel good. You pray for me as I try to share my thought today. I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 36. If you've got a red letter edition, you'll notice that these words are in red, meaning that these are words spoken by Jesus. Beginning in verse 36, "But of that day, an hour, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Verse 44 is also my text this morning. "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." This portion of Scripture, I'll always remember. It has a special meaning to me. This was the portion of God's Word that I read back in March of 1981, the very first time that I tried to stand and preach from the Word of God. That was my reading, and that was my text. It's significant, and I believe it's still relevant after all of these years that I've been preaching from the Word of God. In fact, I would say it's even more relevant today than it was back then. My thought for this morning is, He's coming back. Who's coming back? Jesus Christ is coming back. And, I don't know that we think about it as often as we should, or if we give it the importance or the relevance that we should. Now, it's already been said this morning, and I know this has been a difficult or different year for all of us. And, we've endured shutdowns, we've endured closings of schools and closings of restaurants and, closings of businesses, and even our church was even closed for a period of time, and we weren't able to worship here in this building. So as we even heard in prayer requests today, the coronavirus, it has affected so many things, and it has cost so much. And for some, it has cost them the ultimate price. They've lost their life as a result of that. And I know that people are wondering, what's the future going to look like? And, we've got an election coming up, and how are things going to look like? What are things going to be like after the election? And, I have to tell you this morning that I'm not smart enough to have the answers to those questions. I don't have a crystal ball, and I can't look out into the future. But I can tell you this morning. I can tell you one thing that will not be delayed because of the coronavirus. I can tell you this morning that what's going on in this world is not going to change at all the coming or the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, I wonder, as I said, I wonder how often it is that we think about the coming of the Lord. I wonder, does it give us much pause when we consider the coming of our Lord? And, I wonder this morning, those that are sitting amongst us or listening in the parking lot, I wonder this morning, does my thought or does the title of my message, "He's coming back," who? Jesus Christ. I wonder, Does it cause you to be frightened thinking about the return of the Lord? Or does the return of the Lord fill you with anticipation? Does the feeling, the coming of the Lord, does it fill you with a joy as you ponder and think about it? And I know this morning that your response to those questions, it's going to be dependent upon where you are with the Lord. It's going to be dependent upon the relationship that you have with the Lord. If you're unsaved this morning, you should be frightened about the return of the Lord. And I'm not trying to frighten you, but what I'm trying to get you to understand this morning is you're not ready. You're not ready for the return of the Lord. If the Lord came back this very moment, you would be caught unprepared, as the song says, to meet the Lord. And, you know, my encouragement to you and my admonishment to you and my plea to you is, if you know that you're in that condition, if you know that you're in that shape, you need to make an altar. You need to get down on your knees and you need to pray. And you need to beg God for salvation. And I really can't make it any plainer than that. That's about as plain as I can be. But if saved, if you're sitting amongst the crowd, and I tell you what, I'm thankful for what I'm looking at this morning. While I was sitting there, I took a quick count. I might be off for one or two, but we got 22 children in our congregation this morning. What a blessing that is. Some of them are saved. Thank the Lord. Others of them, I don't have any knowledge of them being saved. I haven't heard them testify of being saved. So I'm under the assumption that maybe you don't know the Lord yet. And I hope that you'll listen to my message this morning, that it might speak to your heart. But those who are saved, the second coming of the Lord, the coming of our Savior, it should fill our hearts and should fill our souls with joy because of the promises that God has made to us. We know what yet awaits us based on the promise of the Lord. And throughout time, and especially with all that's going on in the world today, you know, there's a great deal of interest in people's hearts about end times, about what's going to happen when this life comes to an end. And I'm not going to get into all that this morning. There's many trains of thoughts about how the Lord is going to come back. Some of those are biblically based, and some of those are just plain wild and just out there. But I can tell you this morning, I'm afraid that some people are so fascinated with what might be coming or what might be happening when the end of time comes that they're ignoring how they should be living right here and right now in the present world. And, you know, in this scripture and in the next few chapters that follow this 24th chapter, we know that Jesus was on his way to the cross. Jesus was on his way to be crucified. He was on his way to die. And he shared this scripture this morning. He shared this passage to tell his disciples and to tell us to get ourselves ready today. To get ready today because, you know, we don't know when that time is coming. And but we need to be ready because we do know that he's coming back. And verse 36 of my reading, it confirmed to us that no angel knows the time. And listen this morning, I'm an advocator of knowledge, and I try to learn about as many different things about this life that I can possibly learn, but I also am realistic to know that there are some things that we just can't know. And when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back is one of those things that we just can't know the exact time of the return of the Lord. Jesus gave us some signs. He gave us some indicators earlier in this 24th chapter. You know, some think that we're seeing some of the signs or some of the things that are mentioned here. They think that we're seeing those things come to pass, and I don't disagree. I think there's many things that are happening that line right up with the Scripture. But again, it's important for us to know that we're never going to know the exact return time of His return. The Bible is clear that the Father only knows when that's going to be. And I think part of the reason for that is if we did know it, brothers and sisters, I think some of us might be tempted to be a little bit lazy in the work of the Lord and what it is that the Lord has called us to do. Or worse, those who are in sin or continuing in sin might be thinking that, you know what, I'll turn to the Lord. I'll get right with God, you know, right at the end. And what a sad ending that is going to be for those who are unbelievers. What a sad ending that's going to be for those that are unsaved, not just at the return of the Lord, but for all of eternity. People throughout my lifetime, and maybe for some of you too, they have tried to predict the return of the Lord. And from those experiences that we see in the past, we come to an understanding that they wasted a whole lot of their time because they were wrong. And even those today that are trying to calculate and trying to figure it out, they're going to be wrong. They're wasting their time. They should be spending their time on things that are more important. And brothers and sisters, you know, I know that I told you a moment ago that it's well with my soul. And I know that when my time comes to leave this world, or should the Lord come back before I leave this world, I know that it's well with my soul. I know exactly what the Lord has done for me in saving my soul, and I know exactly what the promise of God is. So, you know, I'm looking forward to attaining that goal of entering into the portals of glory, to that place that God has prepared for me. But heaven is not our only goal, brothers and sisters. We have work to do here. When the Lord saved us, He saved us not only to reconcile our relationship with Him, but He saved us with purpose, because there's a work that He needs done, and He needs His people to do and to accomplish that work. And we must keep on doing His work until our death, or until we see that unmistakable return of our Lord and Savior. There's no doubt in my mind, according to the teachings of God's Word, that Jesus Christ is coming back. And, you know, the day that He comes back, you ever thought about what kind of a day is it going to be when the Lord comes back? Well, I think that when the Lord comes back, it's going to be like any normal day for us. We're going to be going about and doing the things that we're accustomed to doing. I mean, the Scripture said in verse 38 here, it said, when the Lord comes back, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. And what did He say that was like? He said, for as in the days that were before the flood, what were the people doing? They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, and they were giving in marriage. The Scripture said, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, what did Jesus mean by that? Well, I think what He was saying is that He'd come when people were doing what they wanted to do. He's going to come when people are not paying attention to the preaching. They're not paying attention to the teaching of the Word of God, refusing to heed the message of righteousness and the coming judgment. That was in Noah's day, as the Scripture says, until Noah entered into the ark. What happened then? Well, then, I think the people in Noah's day, I think they woke up. They woke up to the truth of the preaching of Noah. But it was too late. Noah and his family were already in the ark, and God shut the door. And there was no hope for them outside the ark, because they had opportunity. They rejected the opportunity, and it was too late. And I think people today are the same. I think we're living in a world and a time today where people don't expect the coming judgment of God. We're living in a time where they are closed-minded. They don't want to know, or they don't want to accept the truth of God's Word. They feel secure in themselves. They feel secure in the world. And if unsaved today, I want to encourage you, don't let that attitude reflect you. Don't let that attitude reflect you. Don't allow yourself to be immersed or caught up in worldliness that it causes you to forget about eternity. Because Jesus is coming back. Brothers and sisters, our testimony, I believe, needs to be like the testimony of Noah. The people in that day, they knew that Noah was building an ark. You believe that, right? They'd never seen rain before, so you knew that had to be a spectacle. If you've been to the ark in Kentucky and you saw the monstrosity of the structure of that ark, and that was supposed to be a replica of the size of the ark, there wasn't anybody that was missing what Noah was doing. And the Bible goes on to tell us that not only was he building the ark, but he was specifically warning them about what was to come. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it tells us, By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Now, can you imagine? It took Noah some 120 years to build this ark. I believe the entire time that he was laboring, and he wasn't the only one laboring, his boys were helping him, I believe. But anyway, they were laboring building this ark, but the entire time Noah was preaching unto them. He was warning them about what was to come. They didn't take it serious. And you can imagine, I can imagine they had never seen rain before. And he's building this ark and he's preaching to them and telling them how because of the sin that was going on in the world at that time, that God was going to destroy the world by a flood. They didn't believe him. They didn't take it seriously. And people are doing the same thing today. This isn't the first time I've preached about the coming of the Lord. For throughout my ministry, I've preached at different times about the coming of the Lord. And there are people that have heard me preach it. And I still know that, as far as I know, they have no testimony of salvation. They didn't heed the message. They didn't believe the message. People are no different today as they were back in Noah's day. And I can assure you, we have the history of what happened in Noah's day, that the flood did take place, and the entire human race was destroyed by flood, except for those that found grace in the eyes of the Lord and were on that ark. And listen, Jesus Christ is coming back again. This world is not going to be destroyed by a flood ever again. That was the promise of God. But he did tell us about the judgment that was coming, and this world is going to be destroyed so as by fire. And there will be those who are the naysayers. There will be those who doubted it, who will quickly come to the conclusion, as they did in Noah's day, that Noah was telling them the truth, that Noah was sending out a warning to them. The warning and the hope of the world, brothers and sisters, it rests upon us to spread the news. We are the modern day Noah today, and we need to proclaim the Lord. The gospel has been preached for over 2,000 years, and the coming or the return of the Lord has been preached that entire time. And how sad that people still don't care, and how sad that that people just won't believe until it's too late. 2 Peter in chapter 3, it tells us that there shall come in the last day scoffers. Kids, what a scoffer is it's those who ridicule, those who make fun of. So it's saying in the last day there will be scoffers. There will be those that ridicule or make fun. The Bible says they'll be walking in their own lusts. And they'll say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, in other words, since they died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, they're saying, you've been preaching and you've been telling us about the coming of the Lord. Look how much time has gone by. Look how much time has passed. Where is the coming of the Lord? How many people today have that same mindset? There are those who say to themselves or believe in their minds that, you know what? There is not going to be no coming of the Lord. The Lord is, he's never going to come back. But listen, Peter disputes that argument by explaining God's mastery over time. What did he say in verse 8? He said, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing." He said, "One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years," he said, "as one day." I've said many times, God, He is not on our time frame. He's not on our time schedule. We don't know when He's going to come back, but He's given us the assurance that He is coming back. And what I think a lot of people miss is Jesus, the reason that the Lord has not come back already is for your benefit. That's why He hasn't come back. Well, what do you mean, preacher? Verse 9 expressed, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. But He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Jesus is waiting. What's He waiting for? He's waiting for the unsaved to repent of their sins, to turn to Him, to trust in Him, to be saved. Listen, both the saved and the unsaved, we both need to realize that time is short. Time is short for the unsaved to find Jesus before it's too late, and time is short for God's people to keep doing and fulfilling the work that the Lord has called us to do. The unsaved need to seek Him while there's still time to seek and be saved. And the saved need to realize that the time is short, that we have an important work to do. Just look around you this morning. Some of you are sitting with your children. Some of you are sitting with your grandchildren. Do you know the condition of your heart? If you do and they're not saved, are you concerned about that? You see, time is growing short. The Lord is coming back. And I know you're just like me. I want to see them saved. I want them to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And it's important that we understand and that we help them to understand that one day, the fullness of time will come and Jesus will return. And all that reject the Lord, they're going to be without hope for all of eternity, forever and ever, in that place that God prepared for the devil and his angels. I know that there are some sinners, they've told me so in the past, but I know there are some who have said, "Oh, I've got time." Do you? How do you know? What makes you think that you got time before the Lord comes back? According to the Scriptures, it tells us that He will appear lightning fast. Think about that. Lightning, when it comes, it lights up the whole sky. And, the entire sky lights up. And, you know, when Jesus comes back, I believe it's going to be like that. I believe it's going to be sudden, and I believe that every person is going to know it. Just like when a lightning flash goes across the sky and we see it, I believe every person is going to know when the Lord comes back. There won't be any doubt. There won't be any need for questioning. The powers of heaven, the Scripture said, will be shaken. Verse 30 said, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory." He's not going to sneak down here. He's going to come, and everybody's going to see the power and the glory of God. He's coming. You know, the Scripture says He's coming as a thief in the night. And you say, "Well, preacher, you just said He's going to come and everybody's going to know it." Well, yeah, but what I mean is that the Lord said He's coming, but you remember what I said? We don't know when that's going to be. So it is going to be sudden. It is going to be unannounced is what I'm trying to say, and it's going to be swift, and it's going to be sudden. I know some of you have mentioned to me about somebody breaking into your property and taking things that belong to you. Well, they didn't call you up and say, you know, "Brother so-and-so or so-and-so, just wanted to let you know I'm going to be coming by and I'm going to be breaking into your house tonight and I'm going to be taking your stuff." Who does that? If they did that, what would you do? You'd be ready, wouldn't you? You'd be standing there ready for them to come and they'd be in rough shape. But that's what the Scripture is trying to tell us. It's trying to tell us when Jesus comes in that day, He's going to come suddenly. And when He comes, those that are unsaved, listen, you'll have no defense. You won't be able to defend yourself against the coming of Jesus. There won't be any excuses that will be sufficient or good enough. You'll just have to stand before the Lord and His judgment as He comes. Jesus is coming, and it's going to be unannounced. Verse 42 of my scripture reading has said, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." See, that's the thing. We just don't know what hour He's going to come. What we do know is that when He comes, it's going to be one of two things. It's going to be an awesome day, or it's going to be a terrible day, depending on what your relationship is with the Lord, as I said earlier in my sermon. Can you imagine the instant dread? Can you imagine the fear of unbelievers as they see the Son of Man coming? Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Imagine a day like any other day, going about your business as you normally would, and in an instant, the sky melts away, the heavens they open, the sound of the trumpet is heard, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself appearing in the sky with His heavenly host. That will be the day of the Lord. My question to you this morning is, are you ready? It's a simple question. Are you ready? My text verse from verse 44 said, therefore. Kids, that word therefore means for this reason. Because of what I've told you this morning, because you know that the Lord's coming, He said, therefore, or for this reason, be ye, or be you, or you, be also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, Son of Man cometh. Jesus' purpose in telling us about His return, it's not so people can speculate. It's not so that people can calculate about the date that when this is going to be happening. But it's there to warn them to prepare and to be ready for when that time is that He comes. We don't know how this coronavirus situation is going to play out. But we do know that Jesus is coming back. We do know that it is going to take place. And if you're here this morning and you're unsaved, it'll be more terrible than you or than I can even imagine. You know, no government is going to be able to stop the coming of the Lord. I think a lot of times about these movies that we turn on TV about these asteroids or these meteorites showering down and destroying the earth. And, you know, and they send, Tom Hanks or somebody. They send him up into space and, you know, they're going to have the task of trying to stop them from coming and destroying the earth. And if you've ever seen those movies, it always works out. They always save the day and it doesn't happen. But I want you to know this morning, that's the movies. I want you to know that that's Hollywood. That's pretend. That's fiction. When the day of the Lord arrives, there'll be no stopping Jesus' return. There'll be no time to change your mind, no time to change your heart toward God. And please know my heart this morning. I'm not sharing this to try to scare and frighten you. I'm obligated to tell you God's word. Paul in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, he said that he had to declare all of the counsel of God. And that's what I try to do every time I take this pulpit. I want to share with you all the counsel of God. And what I mean by that is I want to share with you all of the truth of God's word. The things that bring joy into our hearts, the things that is a warning to us, the things to be cautious about, and things that will help us if we're saved to live our life as God would have us, and if unsaved, to just know how important it is for you to be saved. for you to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And I've tried to share many times in the past, but you may be thinking this morning, well, how do you prepare, Pastor? How do you prepare for the end of the world? How do you prepare for the coming of the Lord? And the response to that is never any different. The response is that you need to see your need for a Savior. You need to see your need to be saved. You need to repent of your sins. You know, the Bible is very clear that there's got to be repentance. In other words, there's got to be a sorrow for the sins that we have in our lives. And we're all sinners by nature. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. When we get to that place, and I think the Scripture is clear that Jesus, through His mercy and through His grace, He'll do the rest. You can't save yourself. You need Jesus to do the saving. That's why He went to the cross. That's why He shed His blood on that cross of Calvary and died so that He could pay the sin debt, as we sang. And He did that for us. And when you get to that place, and He extends His mercy and His grace, and He saves your soul, then you'll be able to say, I'm saved. I'm saved, and I know that I am. You'll be able to say, it's well with my soul. And you'll be able to rejoice in what God has done for you. You'll then be prepared. You'll then be ready for the coming of the Lord. And you'll be able to anticipate His coming. You'll be able to anticipate His return with joy as you think about the promises of God. If you're not ready this morning, and if the Holy Spirit is troubling your soul, you know you need Jesus. I would encourage you, as we have a song, to seek Him. It's not in our song books, but when I was growing up, there was a song in this red book, and maybe some of you are familiar with it or remember it. Maybe Alan wants to do a solo, I don't know. But the title of the song is, Be Ready to Go. Remember that song? Be ready to go. When the Lord comes back, everyone needs to be ready to go. And let me just share with you what the verses says. It says, we're told in the Bible that Jesus is coming. That's what I'm telling you this morning. Be ready to go. It says, when He shall descend from the portals of glory, be ready to go. The chorus says, be ready to go, for sure He is coming. That day may be near. Be ready to go. Be ready to go with all of the redeemed ones. I'm ready. Many here are ready. Are you ready to go with us when that day comes? When He shall appear, be ready to go. The second verse says, then stand you no longer in idleness. Don't put it off. He said, be watching and waiting. His coming to welcome. Verse 3 said, we know not the day nor the hour of His coming. Reward He has promised to all who are faithful. The last verse says, would you with the millions redeemed there be numbered? Are you numbered among them or are you not? Then slight not His call. Don't reject, don't turn away His call or His mercy. Be ready to go, for sure He is coming. That day may be near. Be ready to go. Be ready to go with all the redeemed ones. When He shall appear, be ready to go. Are you ready this morning to go when the Lord returns? Brother Alan, I want you to lead in song. You probably don't want to do a solo this morning. I'm sure you got another one picked out. So you just go ahead, brother, and lead. But I want to have an invitation. Is it well with your soul? Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Let's stand. Let's sing. Christians, pray. Pray for the hearts of those that are amongst us, that God's Spirit will move. Is there one this morning? Will you come? The invitation is before.